Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Measles is a serious disease that can lead to hospitalization and sometimes even death. Vaccination is one of the best ways you can protect yourself and your family from this potentially dangerous disease. Why are we seeing a resurgence? We're going to talk about the measles outbreaks that are happening around the country now. My guest is Dr. Sean O'Leary. He's a pediatric infectious disease specialist and an associate professor of pediatrics at the University of Colorado School of Medicine. Dr. O'Leary, tell us about the current state of measles today. What's the prevalence, and was it gone and now it's coming back? Tell us what's going on with this recent outbreak.
Yeah, great question, Melanie. So measles was actually declared eliminated in the U.S. in the year 2000. And what that means is that there was no more endemic transmission of measles. So there was no measles circulating within the U.S. We had a high enough level of community protection, what some people call herd immunity, that we had gotten rid of all cases of measles, so that every case of measles that came into the U.S. that we saw in the U.S. after the year 2000 was what was called an imported case of measles. Now, the rates of measles were quite low for quite a few years, but then we started to see our vaccination rates dip a bit, and particularly in certain pockets of the country. And when that happens, that's when you are prone to measles outbreaks. And so you start seeing more transmission of measles within certain communities, and then those cases can spread even beyond those communities that have lower vaccination rates. So a good example is the measles outbreak that's happening in Washington State right now. So Clark County, Washington, had a measles vaccination rate of about 78% for their kindergartners. And while that may seem like a high number, actually measles is an extraordinarily contagious disease. So you really, to protect a community from a measles outbreak, you need a percentage of the population vaccinated of around 95% or higher. And so 78% is actually really prone to an outbreak. So a measles case was then a person came into that community with measles, and then it started to really spread within the community and now beyond the borders of the community. So that's what we're seeing, and now we have several outbreaks around the U.S. And so far this year in 2019, we're on pace to have the most measles cases of any year since before elimination.
Wow. So I'm sure that does not make you pediatricians very happy. How does it spread? Because then I imagine it would be a little nerve-wracking bringing your child into the pediatrician's office with measles and other parents sitting around in there. Tell us how it spreads.
Yeah, that's a good question. So like I said, measles is an extremely contagious disease, one of the most contagious diseases we know of. So you could be across a gymnasium from someone, and if you are prone to measles and that person has measles, you could contract it. Measles can stay in the air for up to 2 hours after a person has left a room. So it's easily transmittable if someone is prone to getting it. Being vaccinated with two doses of vaccination provides almost 100% protection against measles. So if your child's vaccinated, the risk is very, very low. Now, what does that mean for the younger kids who are too young to be vaccinated? So kids certainly under 6 months, or the recommended dose is under the recommended first dose is at 12 months of age. For those kids, if there's no measles circulating in your community, so if there haven't been reported cases in whatever state you happen to be living in, your risk is still pretty small. Public health authorities are pretty good about tracking measles cases. Now, if you're in a place where there's a lot of measles circulating, what most pediatric offices will do is come up with some arrangement so that anyone coming in with potential measles is either seen in a parking lot or brought in a separate entrance, or they'll bring those kids in at the end of the day to try and limit the potential spread of measles. So pediatric offices really do their best to try and keep this from spreading. And so I think if you're in the midst of a measles outbreak and you have concerns about bringing your child to the doctor, I think I would just touch base with your doctor's office and ask them, you know, what's the best thing I can do? Do I need to be worried about my child getting measles in the office?
That's a great point, Dr. O'Leary. Tell us about the vaccination, because, you know, the measles, mumps, rubella, MMR, has been subject to so much controversy, and yet it's one of the best vaccinations out there. Speak about the vaccination and when it's important that your child get it.
Yeah, so the measles vaccine is part of the MMR vaccine, so it's measles, mumps, and rubella. And it's recommended to be given at 12 months of age for the first dose, and then with a booster dose at least 4 weeks after that, but routinely at age 4 to 6 years. Two doses of the vaccine provides about 97% protection against the disease, meaning any person that receives those two doses, if they're exposed to measles, there's only a small, very small chance that they would actually get measles. Just like any other medicine, no vaccine is absolutely perfect. So it's not 100%, but 97% is an excellent level of protection for the community. The side effects are very well described. This vaccine has been used for several decades, and we know what it does and what it doesn't cause. Some children, about a week or two after they get the dose, can get a fever. A small percentage of children that will get the fever, a smaller percentage may get a little bit of a rash. There are lots of things people talk about the measles vaccine causing, but those have been shown over and over again to be myths and have been completely debunked.
This time of year, it's hard to avoid getting sick, whether it's a common cold or the stomach bug. It's crucial to stay well hydrated. Hydrolyte is a great-tasting clinical hydration product that contains the correct balance of sodium, glucose, and water to rapidly replace fluids and electrolytes. Hydrolyte comes in great flavors like orange, berry, lemonade, and is available as a premixed drink, a powder, or effervescent tablets that you can simply drop into a glass or a bottle of water. Compared to sports drinks, Hydrolyte delivers up to 4 times the electrolytes with 75% less sugar. Hydrolyte solutions are appropriate for all ages, and each bottle or package includes easy-to-follow dosing instructions. You can find Hydrolyte in the digestive aisle at Rite Aid or online at Amazon.com. Visit Hydrolyte.com/podcasts to save 30% on Amazon with promo code HydraKid. That's Hydrolyte.com/podcasts to save 30% on Amazon with promo code HydraKid. So tell us a little bit about what you're expecting now. I mean, are there some predictions of what you're expecting as far as the measles? I mean, we're even seeing it in Champaign, Illinois. We're seeing it in Oregon. You're seeing it all around the country, as you said. What do you think is going to happen, Doctor?
Well, yeah, that's a great question. I think there's a lot of potential directions this could go. Some of it depends on the infrastructure of your state and local public health department. In many parts of the U.S., we have pretty good public health infrastructure. You know, in general, public health is underfunded, but for the most part, these are professionals that are working really hard to contain these outbreaks. And so what happens when a measles case gets introduced in a community is the local and state public health authorities go investigate that case. They try and figure out where they got measles, and then they look at all the people around that person that may have potentially been exposed, and they check their vaccination status. They try and make sure that everyone around them has been vaccinated, and if not, actually giving the vaccine at that time can offer some level of protection from getting the disease. It's not as good as having been previously vaccinated, but it might help. And so they really try to contain the outbreaks as much as they possibly can. So if a measles case happens in a place where there's relatively high vaccination rates, it's unlikely to spread. So if it goes into a community where the vaccination rate in the population is 95% or higher, very unlikely that it's going to spread in that community. Now, what we've seen in these outbreaks that are going on across the U.S. Right now is that they are in communities where the vaccination rates aren't so high, and that's Clark County and some of a couple of the outbreaks in New York State. That's what's going on. So, in those cases, it's hard to say. It really depends on the vaccination status of the surrounding populations, and so it's a little hard to predict what's going to happen from here, but. One thing that we do know is that a lot of parents who had kind of thought, maybe I don't want to get my child vaccinated, are seeing the results of that choice, and they're deciding to get vaccinated. So there are reports across the country of greatly increased demand for the MMR vaccine because of these outbreaks. So, you know, I hate to say that that's what it takes to get people to get their child vaccinated, but that's what we're seeing. So, you know, they're seeing these outbreaks and realizing, oh, maybe I made a mistake here.
Well, there was even recently a case of a boy who sort of snuck under the radar of his parents and went and got himself vaccinated from the measles. And one of the questions I think a lot of parents will have, Dr. O'Leary, is if they take their children to childcare or they know, you know, parents that are against vaccines or who don't vaccinate, what are they supposed to do when they are taking their children to childcare or to school? Or even dealing with friends and family that don't really buy into the vaccines. And how do you even talk to people like that? But also, and what do you recommend that they say, but how should they deal with the school and daycare systems?
Well, there's a lot of questions rolled up into that.
There
into
is,
that
yes.
One question there. Yeah, so I'll start with the school and child care center, licensed child care center and school issue. So I live in Colorado, and in Colorado, and this is true in quite a few other states, the vaccination rates and the exemption rates are actually publicly available for the schools and the licensed child care centers. So parents can go online and look and see, is my school up to date? And what we, as pediatricians, what we encourage parents to do is ask that question, even when there's not an outbreak going on. Are there any unvaccinated children in this child care center? Some parents actually use that as a decision point for when they for which child care center or school they're going to send their children to. We actually did a study here in Colorado where we looked at that. We asked parents, we did what's called a kind of a willingness to pay framework, but instead of willingness to pay, we used this concept of willingness to drive. And so we asked the question, let's say there are two daycare centers that you've heard good things about. They cost about the same. They're, you know, you've heard great things about the way they take care of the children there. But one of them has a vaccination rate of, you know, 95%, and the other one has a vaccination rate of, and then we varied it, could have been 90%, 85%, 80%. How much further would you be willing to drive to go to the child care center with the higher vaccination rate? And we were shocked to see that how many parents said they would drive an extra half hour to go to the child care center that had the higher vaccination rate. And very interestingly, that was even true among the parents who said that they hadn't vaccinated their own children.
Wow.
So these parents were willing to go the extra mile to protect their children from vaccine-preventable diseases. So there's that. There's that issue. The other thing to consider is your state's laws. So vaccination compliance is enforced at the state level. There's been some talk about, you know, there were some headlines the other day about the federal government potentially stepping in. But in general, these laws are decades old, and they're enforced at the state level. And so all 50 states allow medical exemptions to vaccination. And those are quite rare. So that's some kind of a medical condition a person has that means that they can't get a vaccine. Those are very, very rare, true medical indications. Then there are religious exemptions. 47 states allow religious exemptions to vaccination with different degrees of difficulty in how you obtain those exemptions. And then about 17 states allow what they call philosophical or personal belief exemptions. What we know is that the states that allow both religious and philosophical exemptions have lower vaccination rates, and they have higher rates of vaccine-preventable diseases like measles. We also know that the easier it is to get one of those exemptions, the lower your vaccination rates, and the higher your rates of vaccine-preventable diseases. So advocacy at the state level can really help in terms of decreasing a state's risk for vaccine-preventable diseases. And we're seeing that now across the U.S. with lots of states looking at tightening their exemption policies.
Are there children who can't be vaccinated or who should not be vaccinated?
That is a very important question. So for measles specifically, the vaccine is generally not recommended under a year, not because it's potentially harmful, but because it doesn't work as well, because it is a live vaccine. And so when a woman gives birth, she's passing along antibodies to her child that potentially could protect that child from measles in the first few months of life. Those antibodies wear off over several months. And the way the live vaccine works is it's a very weakened form of the virus. It doesn't cause the disease, but it can, but it needs to reproduce in the body to work. And so if you give it too early, the mom's antibodies may prevent that the vaccine strain from reproducing. And so for infants under a year, we generally don't recommend it except in outbreak situations where we will give it as early as 6 months of age. Those children still need to get vaccinated according to the regular schedule after they hit 1 year of age. The bigger issue are the children who have immunocompromising conditions. So these are children that have, say, leukemia, and they're going through chemotherapy to treat their leukemia, or they have some kind of immune deficiency that they were born with. Those children, because their immune system is so weak, it is contraindicated for them to get the vaccine. Now, the important point about that is those children require the rest of the people around them to be vaccinated to protect them from those diseases. And the big ones, all of the vaccine-preventable diseases are riskier for people that have weakened immune systems. But measles and chickenpox particularly are very dangerous for those children. And so they are really dependent on the rest of us to protect them from getting those diseases. There was a really nice piece on Slate several years ago by a mom who had a little girl who was doing well, but she was going through treatments through chemotherapy for leukemia with chemotherapy, and she could not get the vaccine. And she went looking around in her neighborhood for a child care center that she could send her little girl. And she would ask all of them, is everyone up to date on their vaccines? Because I can't have my little girl get chickenpox or measles because she could die. And she couldn't find a daycare center in her neighborhood because so many people had chosen not to vaccinate.
Wow.
So she was essentially saying to other parents, come on, people, look at my situation. I've got a little girl who I can't find a daycare center for her because of your misinformed choices. You know, these people were making choices not to vaccinate based completely on misinformation. And this poor mom couldn't find a place for her little girl.
And it's interesting to me that you mentioned that people were willing to drive further for vaccinated daycare centers with a higher vaccination rate, even if they were people that did not vaccinate. So that says that they really are looking for that herd immunity protection. And it's what an interesting situation and so sad. Please wrap it up for us. Dr. O'Leary, with your best advice, what you want parents to know about the MMR vaccine, the importance of keeping to the vaccination schedule, maybe even what questions, if they do have questions and doubts, what you would like them to ask their pediatricians so that it's very clear, because if they trust their pediatrician, as I do, my gosh, I wish she was my dentist and gynecologist and every other doctor because she's so wonderful. If they trust their pediatrician, what would you like them to ask them that they will take home and know that this is so important with this measles outbreak and how dangerous this disease is?
Yeah, so I think I'll start by saying that definitely the best thing you can do to protect your child from getting measles or any other vaccine-preventable disease is to get your child vaccinated. That's number one. Number two, the benefits of vaccines, including the MMR vaccine, far outweigh the risks. So there's nothing that's completely risk-free, whether it's driving to work or taking a dose of Tylenol or whatever. Vaccines, though, are among the safest medications we give. They're held to a different safety standard because we give them to a healthy population. They're much safer than other medications we give, and that safety is very well studied. And then in terms of what to ask your pediatrician, I think just go in with an open mind and ask the questions that you have. What are your doubts? Share with them why you're nervous about potentially getting the vaccine. Certainly they understand that. There's been a lot of misinformation spread through a lot of different ways, whether it's social media or the internet, and the pediatricians have heard these concerns. And they also know, but they also know the science. They know why we give these vaccines. They know, and they also are able to speak strongly in favor of them and understand why they're so important. So I think simply going in with an open mind for a conversation as opposed to planning for an argument, I think, is very important. And understanding that your pediatrician has your child's best interest at heart.
I think that's the most important bit of information, that this is a dangerous, highly contagious disease that we didn't see for a while. And so talk to your pediatrician. If you have friends that are questioning this, have them talk to their pediatricians and get the true science on the vaccine and why it is so important that we vaccinate our kids against measles, this very dangerous disease. Thank you so much, Dr. O'Leary, for joining us today. You're listening to Healthy Children. And of course, all of our expert guests are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics in conjunction with their consumer website, healthychildren.org. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD. Please share this show with your friends. Thanks for listening and stay well.